This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Alex Chadwick, and our colleague Noah Adams is here to help us tell a story about something known as Operation Lionheart.
Alex, this is the story of a 10-year-old Iraqi boy who was gravely wounded in Iraq a year ago this month in October. His name is Salah Khalaf. You might have heard his story. It's been covered quite a bit in this country.
I have heard about this.
A reporter for the San Francisco Chronicle has been following the story for many months. Her name is Meredith May, and here's how she described what happened to Salah Khalaf when, in Iraq, he picked up a small landmine.
He remembers one of his playmates screaming and running for cover, and he remembers his older brother, who was 16, Dia, turn around and see what was going on, and yell to Salah, you know, don't move. And then Salah realized what he had done, and he had it in his hands, and he started to cry.
Diaz is a 16-year-old brother, and he died. He bled to death before he could be saved. Salah is from a Shia village in southern Iraq, and he was walking home, saw what looked like a small khaki-colored ball in a ditch, and it blew up. His abdomen was ripped open. His left eye was missing. One hand totally gone, most of another hand gone. After a couple of days at Saddam Hussein Hospital, the doctors told his father, Rahim, that he had to take him to the Americans, and that's what he did.
So what happened then?
Well, he goes to a hospital, and an Air Force surgeon, Dr. J. Johanneman, agrees to treat him, but didn't think he was going to live. They have a dozen surgeries there. Salah continues to breathe, charms his nurses. Dr. Johanneman names him Lionheart and agrees to try to send him to the United States, to Oakland, California, for more work. And he indeed is sent there with his father to Children's Hospital in Oakland. And Meredith May, the reporter, picks up the story. Tell us, Ms. May, what Salah's condition is right now, and how is he feeling about being in America? I know that's a huge paragraph to introduce, but where does he stand right now?
Right now, he's gone through all of the major surgeries that he's going to need to do. The main one being he had skin grafts taken from his thighs to cover his abdomen where the skin blew away. He has a prosthetic arm. He's missing basically both hands. One hand is completely gone. The other, he's got a thumb and about an inch of his middle finger. So he has a prosthetic for his hand, which is missing, but it's very difficult. It's a C clasp, and it's sort of awkward for him, so he's still learning how to use that.
What is it like when you sort of put down your reporter's notepad and sit there on a couch and talk with Salah about his life and what he expects to have happen in the future?
It's really thrilling to talk to Salah because he is such a happy boy. He's the kind of boy where you meet him, and within a minute, he's hugging you. He loves people, and he talks about he wants to own a pet store when he gets older. He wants to be a fireman. He also wants to install windows in buildings. That was one idea he had. But he's very excited about his future. He talks a lot about his mom and his two little sisters and his new baby brother coming to America, and he's, you know, despite everything, he's very upbeat, and that just, it warms your heart.
This is another difficulty you bring up, that after Rahim, the father, and Salah came here, Rahim was regarded back in their village as an informer, and Salah's mother, Hadia, was in trouble, and it's apparent that Rahim and Salah cannot go back. Is that true?
Yes. What happened was initially, or within the first week or so of Rahim and Salah coming here, a lot of newspapers and other television stations and radio stations did stories. One of them was CNN, and CNN came into Iraq, and it was translated, and so people back home saw Rahim and Salah on television, and what happened is Iraqi militants, Saddam Hussein loyalists, saw this and thought, why is this one boy getting this special treatment of all the young boys and girls who are being maimed and killed daily? And they made an assumption that there must be a reason, and that reason must be that Rahim is a spy, and this is his reward or his payment. Some wanted posters appeared in Rahim's hometown with his picture on it, and in Arabic they said something to the equivalent of traitor, Zionist traitor. I wasn't sure if that was a true story at first. I thought maybe Rahim was trying to better his chances of getting asylum, but it ended up being true because one of those posters was obtained.
Yes, so the hope is Rahim and Salah would receive asylum in this country and their family could join them and live in the Bay Area.
Well, what has happened since is, with the help of their attorney, Rahim and Salah have filed for asylum. It's a two-step process. They file for themselves first, and that was granted. And so the next step is you fill papers out for his wife and the two girls and the baby boy that was just born. There's a waiting list of those type of requests that's already a year long.
I have one more question. When you go back to the beginning of the story for you, what was it like when you saw Salah for the first time?
I remember that my editor had phoned me right as I was about to eat lunch and sent me to the hospital because the hospital had sent out a press release about their special patient. And I remember I was very cranky because it was like 2 in the afternoon and I hadn't had my lunch and I had to skip my lunch and I was just irritated and I wasn't even thinking about the story and where I was going. I just wanted to get it done and so I could eat. And I remember I walked into the hospital room and Rahim, you know, I couldn't speak, obviously, we couldn't speak to each other, but he just looked at me with this intense stare and he took the blanket off of his son and he looked at me and it was as if he was saying, look at war, look at my son. And it was intense and I looked at Salah and his legs were so skinny. He looked like a little bird that had fallen out of its nest, and he was so sick. And I had to step into the hallway and calm down. I almost started crying. I tremble thinking about it. You know, you can see it on you can see war coverage on TV night after night after night, and you become sort of inured to it. But when there's someone who's been injured by it right in front of you, especially if you're in this country where you don't get to touch it. It really affects you.
Meredith May writes for the San Francisco Chronicle. She told us the story of Salah Khalaf. Thank you, Ms. May.
Thank you very much.
And Alex, Ms. May says that Salah is doing well now. He's adjusting quite well. He's training some carrier pigeons. That's what he would have done back home. The best news for him, his mother and his siblings, their asylum visas have been approved by immigration officials, and the applications go to the National Visa Center in New Hampshire and then on to the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad for final approval. They hope to be reunited as a family here in Oakland.
So at least the happiest ending one could imagine, anyway.
You bet, and it's been really quite a story.
Thank you, Noah.
My pleasure.